Welcome back, everybody, to the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network here and What Would Father Say, starring Father John Gazzaldo, who is the pastor over at St. Luke. Thanks, Father, for joining us again.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for having me.
This is always the highlight of the week, or at least the highlight of the Friday.
If this is the highlight of your week, that's pretty bad, man.
Come on. Everybody's excited about What Would Father Say?
Yeah.
Wait, more of your wit and wisdom.
Okay, whatever.
So today we're going to jump into yet again a new topic as we talk about discipleship quads. And Father John's going to kind of give us a little bit of history about this initiative, where it came from, and where he first heard about it. And then we'll talk about how that has worked over at St. Luke and the
Yeah.
things you've done over there. So, Father, start a little bit with like the history of what is a discipleship quad?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, it's in the name, four people, quad. And believe it or not, sometimes I have to be a little disciplined with some of our folks because they want to make them bigger. They'll say, look, I got one more person for a discipleship quad. I got five. I said, quad means four, not five. But let's go back. So back when I was, I would say, I guess about 10 years ago now, when I was at St. Louis in Waco, I got to know some of the Protestant ministers there, and not like the mainline Protestant, the those kind of mega church, non-denominational groups. And, you know, they have a disadvantage. They have, you know, they're the only game. Let me go back. A non-denominational group, they have to get butts in the seat. They don't have anybody backing them up. They don't have a denomination. The pastor is also the bishop and the deacon and the elder, everything. But one of the things they had in common when I did a little talk on non-denominationalism was when if you join some of these churches, they automatically put you into what they call life groups. And you would be assigned to a life group, men with men and women with women. And they would tell you you should find a day during the week and just to come together. And they would be given like a program of reading the scriptures, reflecting on them. It wasn't a support group. It wasn't supposed to be a support group. It was supposed to be a discipleship group. That's different. A support group is when you kind of tell you about your problems, what's going on in your life. And there's some of that. But there'd be an actual intentional program where they would read scriptures, read a lesson, react to it. And then they would come together and say what did they think about it. And a lot of times that was put together by the pastor. So they would have these outside life groups, and then they would meet together in the main group. Now, well, having said that, one of the biggest churches in Waco was a life group of another church that they kind of grew into their own church. So there was a double-edged sword for some of them. But they had these small groups that met outside. Okay, so let's go with that. So I always wanted to try that. There is a program, you know, Acts has in their handbook, they encourage at the end of it to meet together. But very few people ever did that. Nothing against Acts, but a lot of times when you have that program like Acts or Chirp or Tech or Awakening or Curcio, they're always planning on the next retreat. Anyway, so at St. Louis, I tried to get a men's group together. We would, you know, have small groups. You know, I would give them a little sermon, and then we'd go around and share about our day, about our week, and then we'd pray with each other. And we did that with my prayer support group. And, you know, at first, we had four or five guys, and then it turned into 15, 16, 20. You know, we're kind of excited because we had these different groups meeting, and then it got back down to two. Muddled, puttered, and sputtered. Because everything behind it was, come if you can. You're invited. Come whenever. Come whenever. And it never got off the ground. I tried it with women. I tried it with teenagers. I tried it with adult men. It always muttered, puttered, and sputtered. So I admit, not maybe some other people can pull this off, but I was not able to. It always failed. So when I came to St. Luke here in Temple, I told one of my deacons, be on the lookout. You know, there's got to be something out there. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. I had read The Lost Art of Discipleship Making and stuff like that. But then one day, Deacon Jerry Clement, he had gone to Franciscan, and they had a deacon's retreat. He came back with this little brochure, and he gave it to me. And it was advertising this new program they wanted to start called Discipleship Quad program. And so I was interested. I looked at it and I became fascinated by it. They hadn't put out any books. You just go online and get it. But the thing that fascinated me was it involved getting three other men, and you would only meet, it was very disciplined. You would only meet for 44 weeks. That's it. At the end, you were done. Not only that, the other thing I like is you signed a contract that you would ask for three other men, hey, would you be willing to enter into a period of intentional discipleship? And if they said yes, and you let them know in our very first meeting, we would all sign four different contracts that says we will agree to do our best to be here, to be vulnerable, to do the work beforehand, and to come and to listen and to recognize that we're entering into a specific time of discipleship, that we're not supposed to form a clique, that it's supposed to be just for these 4 to 4 weeks. And then hopefully you continue the discipleship quad when you go out and ask four other people or three other people. So I decided me and Deacon Jerry and his wife kind of said, we're not going to release this to the parish, although we gave a link for it on our website, and everybody can look that up. It's called Steubenville Quads. And you don't even have to buy the books, you can just download the material. Anyway, they had gotten together. This program that they put together was they had a consultant. So I went up to this Franciscan for the Defending the Faith conference, and they had another workshop on discipleship quads. So I went to it. Now, this particular Defending the Faith conference, had 1,000 people in it. And when they had a side workshop on discipleship, I think there was like eight of us that went. That's about it. But they explained to us that they had started on their own, that they had gotten this guy's name is Greg Ogden. He wrote a book called Transforming Discipleship, Discipleship Essentials, A Guide to Building Your Own Life in Discipleship. This guy is a Protestant fellow, and he went off to, and his Protestant university did his research on discipleship. What does it look like? And he came up with some precepts that we still use. First of all, two people is too small. That's not discipleship. That's like spiritual direction. Three people has a better dynamic. Four people is the best dynamic. And five people is too many. So we say, no, four, between three and four is the best. And you can get four. If somebody doesn't show up, you do it anyway. But if two people don't show up, you don't do it. And four people is the best, but five is too many. And he cleaned this and did his research. And anybody, you Google his name, all of his research is out there. He also said that in the discipleship, that it should be limited to an hour and a half. Now, I say that because the women in our discipleship quads, they go over. But in each discipleship quad, it starts off for each quarter. You divide it up in 12, 13 lessons. There's a facilitator. Somebody, he is his job to facilitate the conversation. And he does that. And all four in the quad take turns. So you've signed contracts, you have a facilitator, and you have discipline. You only go an hour and a half. And so you and then you and like I said, it's a specific time, and you're disciplined about it. So we tried it, and I tried it with three other men, and I loved it. And it's basically a program where the first four meetings, I'm sorry, the first two meetings, two men or two women, two take 20 minutes, and they tell their conversion story. They tell their story, their spiritual journey. And that may take, like I said, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, sometimes more, and then another person goes. And so that's your first meeting out of the 44. That's it. That's all you do. The very next meeting, meeting two, the other two take 25, 30, 40 minutes and tell their spiritual journey. So by the end of the second meeting, all four of you know each other pretty well. You know each other pretty well. And then the third meeting, that's when you start the what it asks is that you through the week you read five or six scripture verses and pray with them and reflect on them and write a little note. What did this mean to you? And then there's three lessons, two or three pages of the author is Dr. Bob Rice. He's a theologian and a catechist, and he writes a little lesson, and you reflect on it. Now, it's not totally random. It goes through seven different aspects of the person, and it's like a tree. It starts with like, who your identity, then obedience, then sacraments, and then it ends with service and mission. So it's like a tree, but it starts out with the first seven to show out who you are as a Christian man of God. And you reflect on those things. You reflect on those things. And so first thing we do is when we get together, sometimes you have snacks and there's a little prayer that you do. And if I'm the facilitator, I'll say, okay, how was your week? How was your week? And everybody goes, and maybe 5 or 10 minutes each. We catch up on how our week was, and then we dive into the scriptures. Okay, which one hit you the most? Which one hit you the most? And so we go around and we've done the reading. And what's awesome about that, we'll read things that some of these guys have never read. They've read never read any of this stuff. They just heard it. It's catechetical. It's catechetical. And it gets them reading the scriptures. Some of them never read the scriptures. Then we say, what did you think of the lesson? So they read a lesson, you just react to it. But you're challenging each other. You're challenging each other. What does your baptism mean? What is your going to? It's always leading back to the sacraments, who Jesus is, who you are. But at the end of it, let's say we go through the scripture readings, we read the lessons, and then at the end of each one, there's a challenge. Next week, I will. It's called. Yeah, there's a little thing up here. There's little boxes. This week, I will, and you put it in there, and you let them know what it is. It's a challenge for next week. And then at the end, you say, okay, what can I pray for? So all four of you have like little prayer intentions, and you're supposed to be praying for each other all week long. Yeah, and then there's a little prayer, and then you set another day when you're going to meet again, and then you leave. So that's a kind of a short overview of the program itself. But for me, it does many things. Now, this is my fifth time around. There's four different books of these, four different books, but you don't have to buy the books. You can go online and just get the material and do it online yourself. But it does a couple things. It's catechetical, but it's also holding people accountable. It's holding being people accountable. Next week I will talk about forgiveness. Who do I need to forgive? Okay, well, my brother, hey, you need to call him. Okay, next week I will. And then the next week's, hey, did you ever call your brother? Did you ever call your brother? So I can tell a little story. My very first discipleship quad, one of the goals I had popped off to a kid in high school. I chewed him out in front of other people, and he walked off, and then the other people were like, he's a good kid. So I said, next week, I'm gonna find this kid and I'm gonna go apologize to him. So I put it down, forgot about it. Next week comes around, they're like, hey, did you go get that kid? Oh, I forgot. Dang it. Okay, well, next week, make sure you do that. Like 3 weeks went by, and finally, I was so sick of it. I went and found out where that kid worked, brought him a gift card to Italianos, and say, listen, I'm sorry about what happened. I would have never done it if those other three guys hadn't been on me. Hey, you said you were going to do that.
I think that's something that's very critical and very important for men, more than,
Yeah.
in my opinion, it's more critical for men than it is for women.
Yeah, and for me, it serves as a corrective because I have three other men that I'll devote a year to that you intentionally disciple them. These are men that, well, first of all, many things. Many times, like the three men I have now, I would go ahead and tell you, they don't know any other men in the church. A lot of times they don't have friends in the church or other men. They have friends through their wives. The wives have friends, but they're just a dad in the family that I said, do you know any other men? So it gets them to know each other. It connects them. Also, it gets to assess where they're at. A couple times you find out when there's a whole section, a whole lesson on confession. And you find out two of them like, well, I haven't been to confession in years. Well, that's not okay. That's not okay. These are the guys who would never come to any of our adult classes. You know, you reach out to them and their fathers. I always look for men who have kids or have sons because they need iron sharpens iron. They need a father to show how to be. And that's another challenge. You know, you're supposed to be the spiritual head of your home. Is that the case? Well, you know, my wife, she kind of handles all that. Well, you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to lead prayer. You're supposed to bring them to church. Someone needs to tell them that. And it takes a priest to do that sometimes. And every once in a while, and this has happened to me twice, no, three times with two different men, where one of them was not doing what they're supposed to. And we tore into him. One guy was in our group and he just wasn't doing the work. He was kind of pudging along, just kind of faking it. And we went after him. And one time we went after him, the three of us, on him for an hour. Hey, man, knock the BS off. You keep on saying this and it's not true. Oh, we went after him and we had to do it twice. Now, another guy, another man.
Yeah, so that first guy, did he quit the group or did he
No. No,
straight
he
up?
kept going, but he never got a subsequent group. So I'm still working on him.
Okay.
I'm still working on him. Now, another guy, like I said, I've done this five times. So that's, you know, that's 15 men I've discipled, or a little bit, maybe one more, maybe 16 now. One man was a new Catholic, and I had asked him a year or two ago, and he said no, and I asked him again. Well, he started coming to my quad to sign. He signed the contract, but I was pretty tough on him. I found out he wasn't going to Mass every Sunday. And now he'd been Catholic 2 or 3 years. He had never gone to confession. I said, that's unacceptable for a man. Well, my wife doesn't go and I don't want to go by myself. You're supposed to go. So I tore into him and he quit. He put on that I won't be coming anymore because I'm not getting anything out of it. And I said, you know, you're getting the most out of it. You're getting the most out of it. But it does serve as a corrective because a lot of times they don't know and no one in their life is challenging them. So, but, and after 44 weeks of discipleship, you know, they've read more scriptures than they ever have. They've gotten lessons from a theologian who has a PhD, and they've been held accountable. But here's the cool part for me, anyway. This has been also the cool part and the hard part. You know, you have people call union busters. You ever seen those guys? They go in the and they break up unions, or you know, this is a clique buster. Because what happens is a lot of these people in their first initial group, they ask their best friends. And then they'll keep seeing, no, you break, no, this is over. This is the hard part. I'm gonna pick on the ladies now. This is the hard part for the ladies. They spent 44 weeks together. Oh, but we like each other. We wanna keep me. No, you need to look out for those other ladies who don't have. Oh, and a lot of times, I have to tell you, I have to confess to you, Tom, there's been a couple of groups that just kept on meeting. After their 44 weeks of discipleship, they did a year-long Bible study together. Then they did a year-long catechism study. I said, well, wait a minute, I can't support that. So it busts up the cliques. Part of my motivation too is when I got here to St. Luke's, there was a guy who kind of coordinated small group meetings. And I met with him. And I said, so what's your program? Oh, you just get together and talk about whatever. Oh, just talk about whatever? Yeah, they can talk about whatever they want. Okay, so and how long does it last? Oh, I've been with my group for decades. So you've had this, that's a clique, man. You've had the same group that keeps on meeting, and these other guys come through here, no one gets, and they leave, you know. But the cliques keep meeting because they want to have our, you know, the oh, Father, we've been meeting for 20 years because we met our Crucio 20 years ago. Yeah, and you let all these other guys slip through, and your kids don't go to church anymore, and you guys are just a support group. You're not. I remember the guy told me, I pulled out the catechism. I said, have you ever read this? Oh, I've never read that. So what do you do at these support groups then, at these life groups? Oh, we just get together and talk about what's going on in our lives. That's not discipleship. That's not intentional discipleship. That's just cliques and popularity. And so what this program done is it busts up the cliques. It busts them up because they will start with their clique. And then when it's over. But other thing is kind of cool too. You know, we have muttered and puttered and sputtered with this program as well. Every once in a while, I hear from one of the other ladies' groups. They'll be saying, Father, we're having trouble in our group. Oh, what's the matter? One of the ladies is, she's struggling and she doesn't, this, for instance, was someone who was struggling maybe with contraception. The church is teaching on contraception. And I said, well, this is the reason for the discipleship group. You disciple her, teach her, challenge her, show her this. And I said, that's you're the sandpaper. That's what's supposed to happen. The ladies groups, they want everybody to feel good and feel welcome and be happy. Oh, that's a ladies club. That's not a discipleship quad. Because I really do think that Jesus started this discipleship quad. He had the 72, he had the 12, but he had the three, Peter, James, and John. And he discipled them intensely, just those three. And then they went out and discipled three others. And then hopefully that's how the church spread. Because if you can intensely disciple one man for 1 year as a priest, anyway, or as another man who's on fire for the faith, you can change his life, but change generations to come. They go back to their homes, and they're, a lot of times with my groups, their wives are so excited that I'm doing this with them. Father, whatever you're doing, my husband, keep doing it. Whatever y'all are doing. He has sons, they have children, they bring the faith back to their children. Because I constantly have to remind them, you are the primary teacher of the faith. And they'll learn things in these discipleship quads that they should know. It's kind of like OCIA, the Protestants come and non-Catholics, and it's the sponsors that are like, what? I didn't know that. But it effectively reaches out to those quasi-Catholics who don't have any friends, who are not involved. So this is the key, I think, small discipleship groups that don't stay together forever.
How are the members of a particular quad selected?
Yeah, that's a good question. You just pray about it. At the end of each discipleship quad, when you get to lesson 42, 43, 44, especially 42 and 43, it coaches you on how to pray about who do you want to pick for your next quad and to ask them. And it gives you even a little dialogue on how to approach them and get used to saying no. I mean, I've had, like I said, this is my fifth quad. For every quad, I've asked four, five, six, seven people. When you let them know it's for a year, it's you have to do some work. They always ask, what is this going to cost me? A lot of times they say no. But yeah, seeing another man, it's not for, we don't, and I tell them, don't get a Protestant guy because it's always about the sacraments. Always leads back to the Mass, to the Rosary. Make them better Catholics so that they can go out and evangelize and be and disciple other people too in the faith. So it's other Catholics, only single sex, and it's only for 44 weeks. And every once in a while in the 44 weeks, it reminds you what the promises you make, because each one of those signatures has a different promise. So it's contractual. And if somebody quits or leaves, you're like, hey man, you signed a contract. You made a covenant with the three of us. Are you going to keep to it? Now, if it's perpetual, no one's going to do that. Why don't you just keep coming along? Having said that, so let me talk to you a little bit about how much time we got.
Well, we got about 3 minutes here, but let me ask another question
Go ahead.
before you go down that road. So, how are specific topics developed? Do they follow a liturgical calendar or?
No, just different aspects of the Catholic faith. Living the faith, don't be afraid, eyes on the prize, our Blessed Mother, spiritual checkup, come Holy Spirit. I mean, there's it's it, it's start it's to blossom. And the very last few weeks are on mission and service. That's what they're about. And then the first few weeks are on identity. Then they're on obedience, and then on sacraments, family life, the Eucharist. And then service. So they're chunked like that. And if I had my first book, I could show you. It's built like a tree. And because it was very well thought out. Now I did the, I did, I worked through the one that Greg Ogden, the Protestant guy, did, and we do it better. I tell you this right now, we do it better because we have the sacrament. It's all centered out of the Eucharist. Now they don't have that. It's strictly Bible study.
Took
And
what
it's non-denominationalist, and so they don't, you could see they struggle with struggle with what kind of Protestant, because he's like kind of a Methodist, and when they have, you know, Calvinists or Anglicans in their group, they struggle with theology. But this is for Catholics, so yeah. So there's, if you go to Steubenville Quads, they have a video and everything. Go ahead, Tom.
I was going to say, Steubenville took this Protestant product
Yeah.
and made it a Catholic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so we can learn a lot from them. They do this better than we do.
Well, we got
But
about
we go ahead.
a minute left here,
Okay.
and so what I'd like to do is come back next week and maybe you can talk us through a particular example
Oh
of
yeah.
how a quad session, for lack of a better word, would particular a typical one would run.
Okay. I can do that.
All right. Well,
I can
great.
do that.
All right.
Well, I
And
appreciate it, bro.
if you missed some or all of today's episode, you can always pick it back up on Sunday. We'll do a rebroadcast of today's show, and then eventually it'll be up on our website where you can download, take that with you, and make other people listen to it and start your own discipleship quads. Father, would you leave us with the blessing,
All
please?
glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right, folks.
Go in peace.
And we will see you next week right here. And remember to put on the armor of God.